boy, and then it was like, whoa, demon, recognize it, right? You see it. Don't pick a fight, but I'm saying to this demon, you remember when you put him in the ground and he rose again. I just want you to remember that. You thought that you took him out and God raised him up, and I represent that God. You will go, get out, flee, right? So she gets up. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm thinking to myself, that's saying it out loud. I'm like, wow, like hallelujah, that's authority, right? So we're still going. The Lord says, touch her again. Okay, so I come back over, pray over, boom, bam, down she goes again. And now she's like, it's full blown, boom. People come, pick her up, take her, move her to the back of the church, and they're praying over her. While all this is, hey, it's still Sunday morning. They're like dancing, and they're singing, they're doing their thing. This is not a big deal in African churches. When these things go on, it's like, oh yeah, it's like your kid's crying. Hey, take him out, okay. It's amazing. But manifestations, right? So I'm starting to go through the Word. When do they manifest? And often when challenged, all sorts of strange and frightening things may occur. One of the things that we see when we're down in where the altar time is. So basically there's a stage that's about 4.5-5 feet high, and then down in the front of that, in a space kind of like this, is an open area. And this is where the work gets done. It's in this kind of in this place. And I forgot where I was going to go with that, because I started thinking about faces, you know, the faces of salvation, faces, people being in there, and we're praying over people. And there would be, I had taken some pictures early on, you know, when we were going places. I would take pictures down, and, you know, I was looking for the face of salvation. Have you ever seen the face of salvation? You probably haven't, but I want to tell you, it's the most beautiful thing, in that one moment, boom, when they are quickened into a new creation, and that look on their face is so precious. And I was going through those pictures, and I was like, wow, look at this. And the picture of one of these pictures was one woman who just got set free, and this other woman who was in the middle of a manifestation, and her face was just all bent up, and I was like, whoa, this is where it's happening. Because there's power that comes into the place. We should be praying for that anointing, that power to come, right? To that it comes into this place, that it's coming into our church. Like, oh, well, they're going to do altar call now. Okay, well, we got to go because we got to, you know, it's time for lunch now, right? Where are we going for lunch? Right? That whole thing, they'll sidetrack. Or you're at the Christian concert, right? And it's time for people to do the sinner's prayer or whatever, or they're going to do the offering. And we as Christians, we get up and realize that this is a time for us to take a break. This is the time when you need to press in. You need to press in when it's time for salvation. When they start asking people to come forward to get prayed for, to be released of demonic control, that's when you need to lean in. You need to press in. This is your role. This is what you've been called to do. Amen? All right. Manifestations, supernatural power. They exhibit this outright or through their victims. So the demoniac, he had superhuman physical strength. That's what the Word says. He could break out of fetters and chains. I've seen some strong guys, you know, the guys that bend a, you know, they bend a metal bar or whatever around their neck, or but breaking fetters. Spin around, like this is a superhuman type of feat that's happening here with the demoniac. And so he couldn't be bound. He lived in tombs. He went about night and day screaming and injuring himself with stones. Cutting. How many of you are aware of cutting? You've heard of cutting. This is like a thing right now, right? I have a daughter that cut. I didn't get it. I don't understand it. But here's the thing, is that it's been around for thousands of years. It has been around for thousands of years. With Elijah, when he was going up against the what? Yeah, the prophets of Baal. And they're calling down the fire thing, right? The prophets of Baal are cutting themselves. Now, you may reason as a teenager as to why you think you're cutting. But that reason is just a lie. There's something demonic that comes in to bring oppression, right? Now, it's interesting to me. Like, and my daughter had come to Jesus. And yet there was this kind of an oppression that came upon her. I just find it so interesting, right? She doesn't cut anymore. You know, she's a mom now. She's got two kids. She lives in Japan. You know, she's still not chasing hard after Jesus, but chase hard after Jesus, right? Like, that's, Lord, make her chase hard after you. Lord, go to her, like, speak to her. Holy Spirit, ministering spirits, go on to her. You know, come alongside her, give her encouragement, build her up in the way that she should go, right? Those are the things that we need to start praying, not, oh, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know if my, you know, when we go into the panic, we start to fear that God can't push through. No, God can! How many know that, you know, you're going to lose a son or a daughter eventually? That, no! That's not true. It's not true. It's not what the Word says. Now, there can be a separation between mother and daughter that can occur. But you can have authority and you can pray and God answers prayers. You think God's going to go, yeah, you know, I forgot to tell you this about her, but like, she's not part of the kingdom. Yeah, what do you think? You think God just brings children into here? Hey, I got a new one for you. It just got me thinking. Climatology. They're now saying, no, check this out. I just read this. It was in Epoch Times. That because of the things that are being released into the atmosphere is why there are more boys in certain parts of the country or the region or the different regions around the world are because of what, you know, it's because of, you know, the climate change. Yeah, if there's more lead in the air, it's women. I'm not even making this up. You think I'm going to set you up for a joke, but I'm really not. And then all this other stuff that's being released into the lake produces more males. So now they're saying that right there, Doc, is another reason that we have to stand against climate change. So that was my long way around to say this. Look, the Lord knows who he's releasing here. These aren't surprises for the Lord. Every person that's been put on the planet, God knows. Amen? They can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And they can come early in life, or they can come late in life. Amen? All right. Exorcism. Lloyd kind of talked about that earlier. But being commanded to come out, you know, demons didn't argue with Jesus. They didn't argue with Jesus. Demons don't argue with Lloyd either, and they're not going to argue with you as long as you know who you are. You have positional authority. So that authority is based on relationship. Right? It's based on the relationship that you have with Father. It's not a magic formula. It depends on the relationship. Acts 19, let's go into it because we haven't even gone into the word yet and we need to. It's important. I know, pull out your digital thing, you're going to get there before me, but still. Legacies, people. We want to leave something behind. Wow, look at this Bible. Wow. Oh, we didn't use this Bible very much, but look at this one, boy. All right. Acts 19:11, and we got good AV people back there. They're probably getting ready to put it right up there. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And because of this, people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing, even pieces of cloth that he had touched, that had touched his skin, laying them on the bodies of the sick, and diseases and demons left them as they were healed. Wow, right? Think about it. Oh, look at that. It's a handkerchief. This is interesting. So, when Peter's talking about demons and he's talking about laying hands on the sick and that they're going to recover, he does not tell the church, he doesn't tell the believers, make sure that you write a letter to Paul so that you can get your hanky that's been blessed, right? But make sure that you get the oil from Jerusalem. Make sure that you get your splinter from the cross. Look, stop it. Stop it. I'm not saying that you can't do this. I'm just saying that, look, Peter didn't say, look, you need to get a hold of Paul because Paul's handkerchiefs are working better than mine. But there is a case, right, for, like, we know a guy, David Hogan, and he has testimony, right? How many guys?
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, how many people know David Hogan? How many have watched the series Faith to Raise the Dead? Yeah, there we go. I saw that little hand. I saw that go up back there. Little. Hallelujah, right? Yeah, if you haven't, do it. Get it. Watch them. Each one of those videos is it's VHS to digital, right? So it's like terrible. But just listen, because it's super powerful. And they're each one of them is like an hour and a half long. It's just a delight. I don't know if you're like always looking for little 10-minute things, but don't. Get deep. Start going deep with your guys. Find out who are the guys that are going deep. All right, so Jesus casts out demons by the Spirit of God in Matthew 12:28. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus healed all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, Acts 10:38. Look, God is with you. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Where you go, the Holy Spirit goes. Remember, we talked about the hands and the feet. They don't go anywhere without the head. He's there. The devil wants to make you think that he's not there, that he's not with you, that you've done something wrong. You've changed somehow the dynamic. You've changed the relationship. So because you've done that, now God's not going to be with you. You don't have any power here. That's not true. We've been called to go. We've got a ticket to go anywhere in the world, anywhere at any time, because he said so. He said so. Hallelujah. Am I with you? Are you guys with me? You getting this? Okay. All right. Let's take a look at binding the strong man. All right, Matthew 12:29. Binding and loosing. How many have you heard this term before? Binding and loosing things. Binding things and loosing. So not everybody's heard that for real? Are you guys turning pages or are you answering me? Binding and loosing. Binding things. Like binding sickness in your health. Bind it. I bind it. Loosen healing. Loosen. I loosen it. Go. Come. Right? Have control. Start taking authority. The best place that you can start taking authority is in your own house. This is your house. God gave you that house. It's yours. God gave you these children. They're yours. You have authority. Amen? I just like that. It's just like a good... It's like, yeah. All right. So what does it say? The binding of the strong man. Deliverance, right? Who would dare enter the house of a mighty man? Whoa! Who would dare? Like, it's like drop the mic there. Who would dare? That's the passing translation. Who would dare enter the house of a mighty man and steal his property? But first, he must be overpowered and tied up by the one who's stronger than he. I'm telling you that Jesus is strong enough, that he has more power, that you can bind up the strong man in a house. And if I go to your house, you have to give me permission to work in your house because you have the authority there. Just like when we're teaching in here, Pastor Carlson says this is his house, but he's giving us the microphone and he's giving us the authority to speak to you. Amen? Amen. So these are the things that are going deep, okay? All right, so binding up, binding the devil, binding the strong man. There are probably some strong things in your house that you haven't removed yet. There are things that are in there. You need to get rid of them. Example, Stephen King. Hardcover. Full series. Every writing of Stephen King. My wife had every book in hardcover on a shelf. Right there. Stephen King. Right? Out! Out of my house, right? Gone. Out, right? Here's the other one. And I don't know what the stronghold is on this. Maybe you can help. Disney. The Little Mermaid. All the people that get caught up, remember, and they all shrivel up, you know. Do you ever see the movie?
Yeah.
I've seen it too many times, my kids. But I just, Disney really just sets me off. It bugs me. It's seeding something into the minds of our children. Some of you are probably products of Disney. You know, let's go to Disneyland, let's go. Right? Like, I'm going to take my picture with Pluto and... You know, throw this stuff down. Start removing it from your house. Get bold about it. Just remove it. Just get it out of there. Don't have a reason to have it in there. Look, your grandkids, there's plenty of other stuff your grandkids can watch other than Disney. Here's another thing, since we're talking about nuggets. My generation will be saved. My generation shall be saved.
Amen.
I'm not here for the millennials. I don't understand them. But God is raising up a millennial, right? He's rising up a Gen Zer. He's raising them up, and he's going to speak to them. You be concerned about your generation right now. You 60-year-old men, you need to start talking to 60-year-old guys and find out what's going on. What's happening here? What's going on in your life? If you're 40, what are you, 30?
Yeah. 30.
You should start talking to 30-year-old guys. Mm-hmm. What gives? Like, why? How come you don't go to church? I mean, they ask you, like, why do you go to church? Well, how come you don't? Do you know anything about the strong man? Do you know what? Do you have a strong man in your house? Are things bound up? Are you confused? Are you sick? How come everybody in your house is sick all the time? That's what I want to know. Right? Like, you're always talking about how sick everybody is, or how we own our illnesses. We give them names, and we feed them. Right? My diabetes, my heart, high blood pressure, mine. I know. You need to speak to the Lord about those kinds of things. Tired of this, bowing down to this thing, binding the strong man. Prayer is an important weapon in spiritual warfare. When the disciples asked in Mark 9 why they couldn't cast out a demon, Jesus replied that this kind only comes out with prayer. Other ancient manuscripts add with fasting. Fasting is often coupled with prayer and waiting upon the Lord. This is the deal. This was something that was revealed to me. Can we go there, Mark 9? Because I want to show you something there. What they're talking about in this passage is unbelief.
Amen and amen.
Thank you. I knew an AV guy would get it because they're always paying attention because they have to. The rest of us are like, what time is this guy going to be done? No, I don't think. Not here. Not in the house of Carlson. Amen. Amen. All right. So anyway, so this type of spirit, powerful spirit, the spirit of what? Spirit of unbelief can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. Look, when you start to fast and pray, unbelief starts to move out. And when unbelief starts to move out, now you can start to move into something and have power over that, right? You now have authority. You're not waxing and waning as to, well, I don't know if I should go to the hospital and pray for them. Like, what if God doesn't show up? What if I look silly, like in the break room? And like, can I pray for you, sister? You know, I don't know, maybe I, you know, you have to move in with boldness. You have to get it into your spirit right now that you're going to be bold. Like, I'm not laying down anymore. There's not enough time anywhere. Not for me. He might have some time because he's in his 30s, right? But like, I'm 60 now and Lloyd's 80. We're growing short. There are big things that are happening in the world. And the people of God have to start raising themselves up right now so that they can take on the problems that are coming in the world. There are so many sick people, whether or not they've been vaccinated, whether they haven't been vaccinated, whether they've had COVID, whether they've had it more than once. What's going on? How come nobody has the story straight? What's happening? But the church, like, we're like in this place and we're like, okay, hold the line. Hold the line right now. Just hang on, because this thing is going to get released. And when it gets released, I'm going to be equipped. I'm going to be the guy that's going to go into that. I'm going to do it. I'm not afraid to walk into that. So check this out. This was the other thing, right? People that have children that are sick and dying. But their family members don't know Jesus. I want to tell you something, brother. Look, if you ever need me to come and pray because someone in your family is sick, I will come and pray. I don't offer that up for everybody, but I'm going to offer that up to you. You call me. I will come. If you don't have the strength to pray for your child or your grandchild who's dying of leukemia or of cancer, I will come. Call me. I will be with you. I will be that other person when two or more gather together. I'm going to be that guy. You can be that guy. You can be that girl. You can walk into that. You can start to make those kind of declarations. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to move. Amen? So you got to find, who's your guy? Who's your guy in town? And who's your guy that you're listening to online? Who's the guy that you're listening to that you're streaming in? Who's your guy? Start getting built up. This is what we have to. It's not just going to fall on us. We kind of want it to, but it's not going to. All right. So there we go. Revelation 12:11 testifies to the power of the blood of the Lamb in overcoming Satan. Demons do not like to hear about the blood of Jesus and our... Right? We don't like to sing songs about the blood of Jesus either. Why are we taking the blood of Jesus out of the worship sets? What's in control there? What's happening? Amen? We need to sing about the blood and the blood of the Lamb. And I don't even know any of those songs, but I bet Doc right now could tell you five of them that talk about the blood. Amen? That's his generation right there, singing that stuff out, right? Amen. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. All right. The same verse speaks of the effectiveness of the testimony of the saints. How many of you give your testimony? How many people gave their testimony in the last 10 days? All right, nice. How about 30 days? All right, this year. Okay, well, I kind of gave it. Gave them part of it. Okay, so look, the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. The testimony, look, this is the thing. Learned this in Kahama, didn't we, Pastor Lloyd? When you break the yoke, when you break the yoke of bondage, when it gets broken off, it releases a testimony. When you break the yoke, it releases testimony. When you break the yoke, it releases testimony. When you break the yoke, it releases the testimony. You need to start breaking yokes off in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of your testimony. Because when that happens, the world starts to hear the praises of a God that can break the yoke of oppression, of anger, of unforgiveness. Break the yoke. We need to start praying for people. We got to start finding them in Walmarts, in parking lots. Lord, show me. Not everybody is as busy as you are. Oh, I just got to get it. You know, I got to run in there. Oh, my gosh. My wife, I'll be in and out, in and out. Okay. You know, $285 later. What? I thought you were just going to get, well, we needed some things. In and out. Look, we have time for that, right? But we don't have time to spend to help people break out of the yoke of bondage and slavery. It's a terrible thing that we're surrounded by people that are fully oppressed, and we have the answer, but the boldness that we desire hasn't come yet. We have to release the boldness. That's what we need to release. Amen? Followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus must use spiritual gifts in spiritual warfare. We talked about that. Plasma. I'll start to release things. I bind you. I tear you down. I tell you, I take away your authority. I take it away from you. You step down. Suicidal thoughts, step down. Get away. Get away from my daughter. Get away from my grandchildren. Anger, jealousy, envy. Oh, that's such a nice house. Oh, wish I had a house like that. Stop talking like that. That's such a nice. Oh, I love that truck. Oh, it's so nice. I wish I had a truck like that. Don't talk like that. I wish I had. I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I had that guy. I wish I had that girl. I wish I had that. I wish I had that house. I wish I had that medication. I wish I had these kind of shoes. I wish I had that kind of hat. I wish I had those kind of clothes. I wish I could walk around and, right? Wish I lived there. Stop. Receive the blessing that the Lord has given to you and walk in it in its fullness. Right? If you want something, go to Him. But just don't covet and envy and become jealous because your neighbor got a new truck and you've been driving the same, you know, broken down metal for 12 years. You see what I did there? That broken down piece of old tired iron, as they would say. Hallelujah. But the Lord will bless you if you go to Him. But your neighbor's not going to bless you. But the Lord will bless you. Amen? All right. We must come against the hosts of hell from our position in heavenly places, not from our limited earthly station. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if you're wondering about this particular book that was written by Paul, this epistle of Ephesians, this thing is filled. It's like, right? It's like, if this was dog food, my dog would be all over it. Like, if this was just like a really good, like, well, you just sit down and go, oh, here we go. Like, I'm putting a napkin on my lap for this one, right? I'm breaking out the good knives, right? Like, with this, we get a full course meal as unto who we are, right? Like, my dog, sometimes she turns her nose up at her dog food because she's been eating the same dog food, like, since she's been alive. And I'm always like, come on, yeah, let's go eat. You want to have something to eat? And, you know, she's jumping around like, yeah, I do. Okay, we're going to get something here. We're going to put it in the bowl. Come on. She's jumping up and down. She's all excited. And I put it down on the, there you go. You know, she takes one smell of it. And she's like, what? This is, you tricked me. Like, this is the same stuff that we always have. This is something that's different. Read this book. Understand it. Paul says that he was an apostle. Hallelujah. Paul said that he was an apostle. The saints who are in Ephesus, that's what he says right here, to the saints who are in Ephesus, to the saints that are in Vandas Heights, to the saints that are, what's this place? Maplewood, 55119. To the saints that are in Maplewood. This is written to you guys. right? To the saints. He says, grace to you. Peace. Grace and peace to you. Like, put that in your pockets. Put grace and peace in your pockets. And then when you go somewhere, I want you to just empty your pockets out. And you go over to your buddy's house, just empty it out. Empty it out into their house. This is grace and peace. I'm going to empty it out into your house right now. Grace and peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, say it, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Does he say he's going to bless us with everyone? Oh, he says it has blessed us. Oh, so that means that's for you and that's for me. We've already been blessed. So what are we supposed to do with these blessings that God has given to us? We can testify about them for one, right? We can pray that these blessings start to cover our family and others, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. There's your position. That's your position. That's where you're at right now. You don't have to climb up to it. It's not a treehouse. You don't have to get in an elevator. It's yours. It says, for it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. God's not angry with you. I don't know that people think that here. You know what I mean? Do you think God's mad at you? Like somehow that he's kind of keeping you down? Keeping you in sickness, trying to teach you a lesson. You know that if he gets you sick, then he can heal you and then you'll give him praise. Do you think that? No, you don't. You don't think that. Amen. Don't think that. God is praised when we are healed. God is praised when demons are cast out. God is praised when the yoke is broken. Amen. It is through our union with Jesus. So who is this for? Is this for everybody? Because you can maybe think that this was for everybody. But as we saw that it's the saints. It's to you. It is through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace for the same love. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. I was not a favorite child. No, but really. I wasn't. My mother left me and my three sisters when I was 4 years old. My father was in the Marine Corps out in California. He had to leave. He had to take a leave of absence. I don't know what you would call it. He had to take leave. Because, my mom was done. I'm not doing this anymore. You're going to have to come and get these kids. So we went and lived with my grandparents, with my dad's mom and dad, not believers. My dad at the time, not a believer. And one of the other things about my dad was that he was called into ministry when he was 18 years old, but he denied it and didn't work upon it because the woman that he was with, my mother says, if you're going to become a pastor, I don't want anything to do with you. So I wasn't a favorite child. And then my dad remarried, and then I became one of the stepchildren. And then my mom and dad, my dad with his new wife, they had three more kids. And they were kind of like, they were the center of attention, no more than me, the child from the previous. You know what I mean? But you're probably thinking that when God says that he does this and he brings us into his family and he pours out this love and it cascades over us, he means it. See, we're not illegitimate in God's eyes because we've believed upon the one. So we have the authority to move wherever the Son goes, we go. Wherever we go, the Son is going. Because we are one. Amen? We're one. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan, which tells you what? In 2021, going to be 2022, is what? You think it's still an unfolding plan to bring him great pleasure? Yeah. We bring him great pleasure. We should be bringing him great pleasure then, shouldn't we? We should be walking these kinds of things out. Amen? Amen. All right. Ultimate victory has already been won. It's already been won by Jesus, who came to destroy the works of the devil, right? 1 John 3:8, right? 1 John 3:8. You and I have been put here to destroy the works of the devil. Somehow we think that we've been put here to do other things, like PlayStation 5, or eating good enchiladas at your favorite Mexican restaurant. Or I don't know what, right? Like, we have all these other things that we think that we've been put here for. Eating good food, wearing nice clothes, driving nice cars, you know. Spending money, making money. We've been put here to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Amen? So we got to start being about that. And how you destroy the works of the devil, how you do that, is by casting out demons, by pulling out infirmities. Like, I know that this sounds really crazy, right? But you and I have been working together for quite a while. And I'm just going to lean in on you for a second here, but like, what's life going for you right now, right? Yeah. Like, what's happening?
Well, divorce.
Okay.
About to move into my own place, about to be on my own again for quite some time since the separation in 2019. Just started a new job that's substantially more than the other job, and just like, got a lot of pressure in this transition season that I'm going through right now, really.
All right.
Yeah.
God is for you, and he is not against you. You are here today by design and by appointment. He's put you here to tell you something about who he is. And he is going to set you on a path that you're going to find very hard to deviate from, mm-hmm, because of this love that he has for you. Mm-hmm. He's brought you here so that you can start to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And that's going to mean at this new job that you're going to have to either make your choice now as to how you're going to represent the kingdom, or you're going to represent yourself. You're going to represent the kingdom, or you're going to represent yourself. How does that look, right? The other thing that I want to share, so I've never met this guy, but this is the thing that people want to attach to, is that life is hard. And I'm telling you something. Well, if you knew how I was raised, my mama left me when I was 4, me and my 2 sisters, and she used to lock us up in a room when she had men over. That was me. My 2 sisters still are kind of like, yeah, you left us behind with her. But I want to tell you something. Look, you need to honor your mother and father. You have to look past of the what they've done into who they could have and should have been. You have to look into that, and you have to come into that place, because once you do, God's going to see that you understand what authority and honor looks like. And when that starts to happen, that's going to start to work its way into your own life. But if you have heartache and you have hardship towards your mother and father, and you express that everywhere that you go, you're going to have trouble. But this was the part that I was going to tell you. Everybody's life sucks. Get over it. Man, it's like, oh, you don't know how hard. You know, we get a phone call the other day. Hey, are you guys a church? I'm like, no, we're not a church. You know, we're a ministry. We know Jesus. We travel around the world and tell people about the gospel. Oh, I was wondering if do you guys do a food program, or do you guys hand out money or anything for like people that are in our church? I said, no, we don't really do that, but we could. Well, I have this. I just want to tell you that like this is really it's kind of a long story. It's a terrible story. And I said, whoa, hang on a second. Let me just, I want to interrupt you just for a second. Everybody's life sucks. That's what I told her. Everybody's life. You call anybody. You ask anybody. If I called on one person to come up here, everybody's going through something hard. Everybody's going through something difficult. Everybody has that thing. It's difficult and it's hard. And I want you to break out of that mentality. Break it off. I am not a victim anymore. I will not live as a victim. I will not speak as a victim. I am a child of God. God has poured his love out over me, right? And I am here to destroy the works of the devil. So get out of my way. Amen? Get out of my way. We have to talk. You have to find these people. God has somebody. He's put them upon your heart. You have that person that you need to, hey, look, we need to talk. Like, I just can't keep this to myself anymore. I know you think I'm a little bit strange, I'm a little bit off, but I got to share something with you. You are not alone in this life. I just want you to know that Jesus Christ paid for your sin. It's already been taken care of. We do not have a sin problem. The sin problem has already been taken care of. What we have is a group of people that don't realize that they can accept that Jesus died for their sins and become free and get to heaven. That Jesus is coming back and they could actually see it happen. But we keep messing around with the sin part, and the sin part's already been paid for. We need to start getting into the reconciliation part of things. I think that's what the word says. And I don't know exactly where, but I read it this week. Right? Like, we're here, this whole thing about demons and demonology and all of that, right? It's fascinating. It is. But look, you have to start working to live your life with authority, or you can never break off the things of the devil. You can't destroy what he's doing if you don't know who you are. And you've already been given the license for it. It's like a guy, it's like a homeless guy, right? And he's eating out of trash cans. You know, he pushes a shopping cart. He's like, he's been down there, everybody knows who he is. He's been there for 12 years. And he dies. And then, you know, it turns out that this guy has a money belt on him. And there's $150,000 in his money belt. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that Christian that dies having all of this benefit, and you never shared it. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Holy cats, man. Just like Lazarus and the rich man, amen? I'm going to tell you something. That ain't about food. That's about a rich man. You are rich. You are filthy rich with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are filthy rich. You have the richest words. You have a treasury. In your heart, there's a treasury that is inside of you. And he's saying, look, I need you to spend some money. Right? Time. I need you to start spending some time with people. That's what's important. Amen? All right. Everybody stand up. What time is it? 4:30. All right, we're still good. I got through that part. I was like, I'm never going to get through this. I got through it right there. That's your heart right there. That's your heart. That's your heart for Jesus right now. That's what I want your heart to look like. I want your heart to be on fire for him. Amen? Amen. I'm going to stretch out a little bit. Like, get, you know, do the 6-foot separation thing that we're supposed to be doing. Like, move around a little bit, and because this next part, right? Oh, my word. Father, I thank you, Lord, Lord, that you've put an order to things. And Father, I thank you, God, that you have given us the mind of Christ. Father, I thank you that things have been released into this place, Lord, so that they may go forward. Lord, that we are not grabbing a hold of the things of God and we're not hoarding them. We're not like that TV show, like that guy that has his house packed full of stuff. It's just like all this stuff is in there, but nothing ever leaves. It all just comes in. But Father, that we would begin to release the things, Lord, that you have given to us. I thank you, God, that you are powerful, that you are mighty, that you are strong, that you have an inner work, Lord, that you are doing in the hearts of these people. Father, thank you. Lord, open the eyes of their heart. Thank you, God. Give them an understanding, Lord, a deeper understanding, Lord, today than they had yesterday. And tomorrow, make it even deeper, Lord. Continue to bring revelation, Lord, into the hearts and minds of your people, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. Amen.